blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 4 of Psalter 102.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Judges, thereof chapter 6. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges 6, the first 10 verses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, who can pray unto thee? Thy disciples, they did ask, O Lord, teach us to pray. And thy servant did write, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we cannot worship thee, and we cannot give unto thee that glory that is due unto thee. It is done by thy servants about thy throne, where there is no more sin that cleaves unto thy people anymore. And where there is no sin that has ever entered into the holy angels, as so that they may give thee that glory that is due unto thy name. O, give us to feel all our wretchedness, all our sinfulness, our worldliness, our carnality, our cleaving to all the things that are passing away and to everything that is here below. But thou in thy high and mighty place, wilt thou hear us, For we are in the creation that thou hast made, and we are the creatures of thy own hands. And it is true that we have turned all things upside down, as so that sin has come into this world amidst all thy creatures, and so that all thy creation groaneth and travaileth under the consequences of our sin. And the very beasts of the earth and the wind in turmoil, as so that so many are now suffering in the midst of this world. Oh, that thou may remember them in their place, for there is so much distress, and there is so much mourning, the losses of loved ones, homes taken away and without the necessities of food and drink and electricity and clothing and shelter. O Lord, disasters, they are for us insurmountable, but they are not for thee. Remember them together in thy mercy and help all that come to their aid. And wilt thou cause us to see our sin? And thou dost say in thy word, thy servant did write, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That we might feel it in our hearts, the blessedness of that people who are covered by that covering, and that covers in the sight of thee all iniquity, as so that they are most pure and holy in thy holy sight, so that thou mayst have communion with them again. O Lord, give us a holy jealousy in our heart and a longing for those things that we cannot reach and those things that we cannot attain outside of thy dear and beloved Son, whom thou wast pleased to send into this world and who was so willing himself to humble himself and to become a man under all the consequences of the sin of the human race, that he might die and give his life a ransom for many. Give us to see the great love wherewith thou hast loved thy church. And give us to see the great opportunity that thou givest unto each and every one of us while we are yet in the midst of this world, and thou givest us thy house and thy holy word, that we might learn to hasten for our life's sake, but that thou mayest give us also a love for thee, a desire for thee, above all the desires that live in our hearts in the midst of this world, that we may forsake the world and every former friend, and that we may desire to be united unto thee in and through thy dear Son. He is precious and dear unto thee, thou sayest, my beloved Son. Make him also beloved unto us. Then thou must show us our sin, and thou must show us his beauty. Reveal him to those who are in distress of soul, that they may be also in our midst, O Lord, and those whom thou hast instructed. And we know not where they are, but they are known to thee. And where they go in their inner chamber from time to time, how that they go over this world, unbeknown to many, but all well known to thee. with a heart that is burdened because of their own sinful flesh, and that we are unconverted. O Lord, make among us such an unconverted people that we might learn to know what we have become in our father Adam, and that it may become our own guilt, and that we may justify thee, and that thou mayest hear our cry. Remember us and our children in thy mercy, and that thou mayest so bless all the instruction that is given, not only from the pulpit and in confession and soon catechism classes once again, but also in our school and in the homes by fathers and by mothers, or that it may be done in a diligent and in a faithful way, and that we and our children may have a living realization that we are but travelers here below, and that there may be a great concern in our heart whether we travel upon a broad way that leadeth unto destruction, or whether we are traveling upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. O Lord, then thou alone can bring us upon that way, and thou alone can keep us upon that way and give encouragement upon that way. For it is a way which is straight, and it is a way which is narrow. And then the world cannot come in with it, and all that our heart, our sinful heart desires, and then it is not that we must go out of this world, but that sin that is in the world, that is in our heart, and that meet together in our life. Oh, teach us to cast it out, Lord, and bless thy holy word. And wilt thou give prosper to thy church, and that that they may be instructed more and more in thy way of grace, for they are ignorant, O Lord, and they must be taught, and thou wilt teach them. But we are those who are so slow to learn. Wilt thou grant true conversions? Remember all that lead and reign over us, we may acknowledge thee, and that thou hast inclined our rulers to lift the mandates, that there may be once again the ability to go to and fro. But remember also the government of the United States, that they may also do the same. If it could please thee, that we may be able once again to go forward unhindered. But wilt thou give that thy judgments that thou hast brought upon the world and upon us may not go unheeded, that we may not go on in our iniquity, for then it shall only be for our eternal destruction. Remember the nations of this world where that there is war. O thou knowest the threats also being made, even of nuclear war. O Lord, then we do destroy ourselves as a human race. Oh, could it please thee to extend thy hand and to keep men, that it may not be to the destruction of men, and that thou may give peace, O Lord, that men may walk in the fear of thy name. Instruct us also in this afternoon. Wilt thou help us to bring thy word once again? Lord, thou knowest each time that we stand before it again, and we are not able to do the labor that thou layest upon us. Strengthen us in mind, in body. But give thou also those thoughts from above in our mind and a mouth to speak as thou hast promised us if we would take forth the precious from the vile, but also an impossibility. Lord, help us then. Give Aaron's and give hers in the midst of us, and that may hold up our arms, and that thou wouldst hear for thy name's sake, because thou canst not do it for our sake. Build thy church among us, O Lord, and give true conversions. Forsake us not for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 240, the first four stanzas. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1 through 4 of 240. Beloved congregation, the salvation of the Church of God is the work of an almighty God that is necessary. Why? Because a great power is necessary for that work. In the first place, to merit that salvation, then it is necessary for, as we have heard little of in this morning, the Son of God to become the Son of Man, to fulfill perfectly the law of God. Can you do that? We say a great power is necessary to pay a price for the whole Church of God, the elect of God, unto a judge that is not ready to dismiss the smallest thought or inclination to sin. Not only so, but also the application of that salvation needs a great power. Why? Because we are dead. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. We do not believe that by nature, that we are dead. We do not believe that sin is more powerful than we are. We think, young people, that we can at any time just begin to forgo it. Just to stop it at any time. Then we do not realize how deep that our fall is. One of the greatest powers, one of the greatest works of the Holy Spirit is to break the love of sin in our heart. Do you feel that? The love of sin? I don't say to break the love of sin in the heart of my neighbor, because I may not love that sin that he loves. Then we say that is an awful sin. How can he do that sin? He lives a wicked life. But now to break the love of that sin that lives in my own heart. What is that sin? Each one of us, what is now that bosom sin that needs to be broken, the love for that sin? Do you feel what a mighty power is necessary to break that love? Because the true church experiences that it is the Almighty God alone who can break that love for my sin in my heart. And that is the reason that the Lord has so much work to do in the life of his own people. With the help of the Lord, our text in this afternoon can be found in Judges 6. And thereof, the sixth verse, Judges 6, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So far the words of our text. Israel impoverished. First, the cause of their poverty. It says, because of the Midianites. Second, the profit of this poverty. What do we read? The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Israel impoverished. First, the cause of this poverty. Second, the profit of this poverty. And Israel was greatly impoverished. What does that mean, to be impoverished? That means to be brought very low. It means to actually hang down, for a man to languish, to be made poor. And here it says that they were greatly impoverished. That means they were impoverished to a very great degree. They were made very, very poor. And they were made as a people to hang very, very low. Who is that people? We read, it is the children of Israel. Thus it is God's people. The people that have been distinguished by the Lord Himself from every nation that is living in this whole world, that the Lord has chosen them, that the Lord has said, thou art my people. Is that then not a contradiction that we read here that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites? Is that not a contradiction then? You say that is the Lord's people, that they are brought low. Were they not promised a land that was flowing with milk and honey? Why is it that Israel is languishing? Asaph did not understand it either. He went to the Lord. What is the cause of Israel's impoverishment? We read, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. So there we have our cause, the Midianites. So who were the Midianites? You know that, boys and girls? The Midianites? You have heard of them before. They were actually also the descendants of Abraham. They were the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so on, of Abraham. But they were not born by his wife Sarah. No, they were born through Keturah. After Sarah died, and then Abraham married Keturah. And she has brought forth 6 sons. Or if Abraham knew how that those sons and their children would be the enemies of the children of the promised seed, then you would say Abraham, he would probably never have married Keturah. But that is all the Lord's doing. That is not Abraham's doing. He does not know the future, and he does not know the use also that the Lord will make of his own seed. These, the seed of Keturah, these Midianites, they lived in Arabia. They were very wicked. They did not follow the religion of their father Abraham. You can read in the Bible how that they have even tempted the children of Israel into wickedness. And you know, boys and girls, when Joseph was in that pit, then it was Midianitish merchantmen, right? They were traveling, and what happened? Well, then Joseph's brothers, they took him out of the pit and they sold him unto these Midianitish merchantmen. And then they made some money from him because they bought him at a price and then they sold him at a good price in Egypt. And so these children of Keturah, they may mock with the internal strife that there was in the house of those of the children of Sarah. And they have become enemies, actually, of the truth, the enemies of God's people. And now there is jealousy in that house of Jacob between those brothers and those who have left the truth. They are now laughing. They are now mocking. And now they are even making their living off of the strife of the house of Jacob. That is now what God's people are able to bring into that church of God before the world. We can read of the hostility of those Midianites in the time of Moses. We know that before Moses died, that the Lord has said to Moses, vex the Midianites, because they had vexed them with their wiles. And we know that they have warred against them, and they slew their five kings, we read, and they slew also Balaam, the son of Beor, whose wickedness also was used to make the children of Israel sin. So the Midianites at that time were put down. But now, 200 years later, then we read of those Midianites once again in the life of Israel, or the enemies of the church. They will never be vanquished upon the earth. That is not for the time that will be in heaven, people of the Lord. Then all the enemies will not be able to come near unto God's people. But as long as they live upon the world, then those enemies will be their sin. That is the greatest enemy of that church. How many times have they thought maybe they have overcome, they have vanquished this sin or that sin? And then it is later on to their surprise that it is coming up again in their heart with such a great power. Oh, the enemies of the... We read also here of the Amalekites. So who were the Amalekites? Well, they have branched off further down. In other words, these were the descendants of Esau. And so you know who Esau is, right, boys and girls? So Esau is the brother of Jacob. They are the children of Isaac. So that is further down in that line of Abraham. So now Isaac's grandchildren, a branch of Isaac's grandchildren. So they are all now from the children of Sarah. And from Isaac. And these God-fearing fathers. And now some of them have also broken away from the truth. And they have joined unto the Midianites who lived wickedly. Oh, how those Midianites, they are so glad when others can be pulled away from that truth of the Lord. And they are joining together with these Midianites in their enmity, because we know the enmity of those Amalekites. Those that have descended from Esau, well, there was enmity already in the womb of Rebekah. Two nations, they are fighting for the preeminence, and that has gone down into their children and grandchildren. Oh, how is that? Fathers and mothers, boys and girls, oh, do we get along one with another? Oh, parents, oh, can you imagine that your children and your grandchildren one day would be at enmity with one another? Oh, how awful. all the scriptures, they say to love one another. So these Midianites and these Amalekites, and then there are also other tribes, they're often called the children of the east. They are living on the east side, on the east of the land of Canaan. So in that desert place of Arabia, nomadic people, rough people. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. So we have now the cause clear. But is a congregation the only cause? Can something have more than one cause? There are different kinds of causes. We heard last week that the Lord left those nations that was not these nations particularly. He's speaking about the nations now in the land of Canaan, and the Lord left those nations. Thus, the Lord himself was a cause, was he not? The Lord left those nations, then he himself is the cause that those nations are a scourge unto his own people, and that his people are impoverished. So we say, it is not only the Midianites. Oh, the Lord also is a cause. There are different kinds of causes, but he is also a cause. And why? Why did the Lord leave those nations? We heard that also because of the sin of Israel, that he may chastise their Israel for their sin. Thus, we have another cause, don't we? Again, a different kind of cause. But Israel are themselves the cause. The cause of their own impoverishment. Congregation, do you ever try to trace causes? The cause of our impoverishment, the cause of our misery? Do we ever try to trace that out a little bit? Or do we just blame this cause or that cause? Did we ever trace the cause all the way back unto ourselves? Then our finger is not pointing so much. It is not pointing so much at other persons, and it begins not to point anymore against the Lord, but that finger begins to point against myself. But it is not so easy to come there, is it? To say that I myself am the cause, and why do we not want to come there? Because of the love of sin. Because if it is because of my sin, then it means I have to leave it. If it is because of me, then I have to change. But I don't want to change. I do not want to leave my bosom sin. And so I continue to point to this cause. I continue to point to that cause. My misery, my wretchedness always comes from somewhere else. That is why we say the Lord has so much work to do. So much work to do to bring his people into that place that we will never come to blame ourselves. What do we read here? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So it did not happen overnight. How much labor does the Lord have to do to break the love of sin? the love of my sin, to break it now, to cut that band that is in my heart because it is so deeply entrenched in my heart. It is actually a marriage. We are married to our sin. When did that happen? That happened in the fall. That we have chosen it. We have chosen it. Freely chosen it. And we do not want to leave it. That is, even after conversion, oh, that love is not all gone. That love is not all gone. That love to my bosom sin. That is why we say the Lord has so much work to do in the life of His people. It is a most necessary work because the Lord desires communion. And there cannot be communion except that there is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And when the Lord's children are living in that sin, then that communion does not take place. That is also a most powerful work. The work of the Holy Spirit to break that love. The Lord does not give in for His people. For His adulterous people, when they are striving after all the idols, that was what it was with Israel, the Lord, He was jealous when His people, they are going a-whoring after the idols of this world, and when He has claimed for the heart of that people for Himself. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years, year after year. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. The Lord makes them weak before their enemies. They are afraid. You know how they act, children? They act like a person who has a guilty conscience. How does a person act who has a guilty conscience? Oh, he goes sneaking away, doesn't he? Just goes sneaking away. Goes into hiding. And that is now what they do. They are not bold. They are not ready to fight. No, they are living wrong. They are living wrong. And so they are going to hide. They look for caves and make themselves dens, and they build themselves strongholds against the enemy, and they do not fight the enemy, but they go hide from that enemy. Solomon says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the bold, the righteous are bold as a lion. Oh, that free conscience, young people. The clean conscience. What does that do to you? You know the difference, right? Between a guilty conscience and a conscience that is not guilty. Conscience that is not guilty is bold. It is not afraid. It does not run away. But see here the children of Israel and this enemy. We don't even read about a leader. We don't read about their king. We don't read about their captain. No, they are actually just an undisciplined group of people robbing, plundering, stealing. Where is their great strength? It is not in their organization, it is in their numbers. Just in their numbers. They are, we read, as grasshoppers for multitude. And every year they're coming up again. The harvest time, they're taking everything away from these children of Israel. 7 years. Year after year. So we read that the children of Israel were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. They are brought into poverty. Why? Because they abused their prosperity. Their prosperity. They had prosperity. The Lord gave them prosperity. And in their prosperity, they left the Lord. You understand that? In their prosperity, they sought after the idols of the world, the idols of the Amorites. They began to bow down to what was no God. And so what does the Lord do? Prosperity takes it all away. So that they are greatly impoverished. He makes them poor. In His love. In His love. They're His people. Sure, it may be in His anger, yes, but that is also in His love. It is an everlasting love, and He will not let go of His people. He will not permit His own to destroy themselves. That is the only hope of the true church of God, that they are kept. 7 years. Year after year. After first year. Oh, you say, it was not a good year. It was not a good year. Oh, then they do not think about returning. Then it is 2 years, 3 years. And those thoughts, they begin. What is the matter? What is the matter? Yeah. We know, but we don't want to say. We don't want to say. We know it in our heart. And then just try to uphold themselves and to go on. How much will it take? The Lord waits. He waits. He waits for His people to return. That doesn't happen overnight. Why not? Because of the love of sin. Because of the love of sin, people of the Lord. What remains? The sin that yet remains. The love of it. In your heart, the Lord waits. Every year again, oh, they are trying to give themselves an excuse. The cause? The Midianites. The cause? Yeah. It is always somewhere else. 7 years. And the Lord waits, and it gets worse. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, children. And you imagine, then you see them coming again in the harvest time. You say, Mother, Father, there they are coming again. They are like grasshoppers. The father says, let us go again. Let us hide. We go out of our house. We go into the strongholds. We go into those dens. And then they just watch. They rob everything. So we read, so they left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. All their food is gone. All their cattle, all their grain. Oh, there is no feasting in the backsliding of God's church. when they are living wrong. Do they eat them? Do you eat them, people of the Lord? Are you eating them in those years? Or does that spiritual life languish? The Lord waits. The Lord waits. 7 years until Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. How is the people of the Lord? What have you eaten now in the last 7 years? How is it with that life of grace? Is that now fruitful? Or are you impoverished? What is now the condition of that spiritual life? Must the Lord lay his hand on longer? Any longer? 7 years. Could it be poorer? Could it be worse? The Lord waits. What does he wait for? We hope to see that after we sing. 231, 2 and 3. In grace thy people, Lord, return. No longer let thy anger burn. Wilt thou forever angry be? Through ages shall thy wrath survive. Wilt thou not us again revive, so that so we may rejoice in thee? 2 and 3 of 231.
Thank you.
our second thought, the profit of this poverty. And you will say, young people, that does not make any sense to me. The profit of poverty. So I know what the profit of riches are, because if I put those riches in the bank, then I can get interest on that money. And that is very profitable. But poverty is not profitable. Is that right? What do we read here? We read, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." That is what we say is the profit of this poverty, of this impoverishment, a cry unto God. Did you ever cry unto God? It is so difficult to get a man to cry unto God. It is not difficult to get a man to cry, because that is the what the world is full of. But now to cry unto God as a poor, as a needy, as a guilty sinner, there is no one that can do that but that almighty power of God. The powerful Spirit of the Lord, our nature is opposed to it. We fight it with all our heart, all our might, and all our strength. In this portion we read, it took 7 years to bring Israel unto this place, that they cried unto God. How long will it take for us? How long will it take for us to so cry unto God? And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Oh, perhaps you say, how did they dare to do it? Because they knew that it was their own fault and they have left the Lord all those 7 years. How did they even dare to cry unto the Lord? You have those voices in your heart too? Such a voice. Through poverty, congregation humbles a man. It brings him low in his own estimation. He cannot provide for himself anymore. But there is something else that is guilt. This is my own fault. I have brought myself into this place. Thus he becomes so unworthy. So unworthy. And when we become so unworthy, then there are voices in our heart. When we go upon our knees and fold our hands and close our eyes, and the devil says, you must be silent. The Lord will never hear you. Only look at your life. And yet they were not silent. They were not silent. And why were they not silent? Because they were impoverished. Because they had no sustenance. Because they had nothing to eat. And when they have nothing to eat, then a man has thoughts of death, of perishing, and therefore they could not be silent. even though their whole life is testifying against them. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto Israel. Thus the Lord did something. When did he do it? When? We read when. When they cried unto the Lord. That is when. Then the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord heard it. He is moved. His bowels of compassion are moved like Jacob or like Joseph. When he is sitting upon the throne and he sees his brethren in their need, in their great need, who have so sinned against him. O congregation, the Lord is not hard. We are so hard. David, he says, let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. Why not? Because we are so hard. We are so hard. The Lord is much more ready than we are. How long did it take Israel? 7 years. 7 years before they cried. And at that very moment, the Lord heard. In the moment of their cry, did not take them 7 years. You would say, now the Lord should wait 7 years. No. No, in that moment, the bowels of the Lord are moved. You say, why does it take so long in my life? Why does it take so long in my life? Congregation, the Lord, he waits. He waits. You say, is it not long enough? The Lord knows where we need to come. And we often think, now it is time enough. But the Lord will come when we cry unto him. Do you believe that? You believe that? We read in God's word, David, he says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and that thou art plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon him. That is true. That is true. Do you believe that? Or it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. That is what the Lord did. When his bowels were moved, when they cried unto him, he sent to them a prophet. Boys and girls, what is a prophet? What does a prophet do? He speaks the word of the Lord. What does that mean? The Lord spoke to them. Oh, when they cried to him because of the Midian, then the Lord came to speak to them Is that not a wonder? Oh, do you say, people of the Lord, when will the Lord speak to me again? Oh, when you cry to him. He sends a prophet. The children of Israel did not deserve that. They have gone a whoring after all the idols that have mouths but speak not. Now the Lord can say, people, now go to those idols. No. He sends a prophet to them. He condescends to speak to them. Oh, what greater blessing can we have than that the Lord sends his people a servant by whom the Lord says he will speak unto his people. Oh, then the Lord uses, then it is not in that servant, no. Then the Lord is using those words for those who are crying unto him. And what does the Lord now say to this people that cry unto him in their poverty by this prophet? What do we read? Which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. And brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And out of the hand of all that oppressed you. Drave them out from before you. And gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. What does the Lord do? When he comes, when he condescends to speak unto his people, tells them three things. First, he tells them what he has done for them. What he has done for them. Oh, first, he lays before them all his goodness. All his goodness. He says, look back now in your life. And look how that I have taken you out of that land of bondage. How that I have separated you from every nation that is in this world. That I have made you now my peculiar people. Oh, he lays that to their heart. The goodness of the Lord in their life. Then he does something else. He says to them what they owed to him, not just because he is the creator, no, but also because he is the redeemer. He is speaking here to his own people. And he required of them that they would be his people. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Do not serve those other gods. I am your God. You must serve me alone. That is the second thing. What they owe to him for all his goodness. And what is now the last thing? But ye have not obeyed my voice. He tells them what they have done wrong. What they have done wrong. He rebukes them. He is honest with them. He tells them the reason for their misery, for their impoverishment. Did they know that already? Oh, they knew that already. They knew that already in here for 7 years. They knew it the first year, and it became stronger the second year, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and it became stronger and stronger. They don't want to say it. And now the Lord says it. And now the Lord says it. The Lord brings it out. He does not pass by the reason. He says, you feel your misery, and you feel the consequences of that misery. But you now, my people, you must know and confess what is the cause of your misery. The Lord makes them to know it. Nor does the Lord say immediately, and I am now come to deliver you. No, he is not hasty. He lets them sit with that rebuke. He says no more. There it comes here to an end. He says, you can think about that now. But ye have not obeyed my voice. O God's people, they must come to acknowledge the righteousness of God in his judgments, to justify him. Oh, then they are in a good place. And they are not only in a good place, but congregation, that is already the beginning of the deliverance of the people from their sin, from their sin. That is to acknowledge it, to have a godly sorrow for that sin. Oh, their soul will feel that, because there is a great calm in the heart of God's children in that moment that the Lord gives them to justify him. Oh, their heart is calmed. Is calmed. Was not calm for 7 years. Was in turmoil. Was in turmoil. And now the Lord comes, and the Lord, he lays it out for them. You don't want to say it? I will say it. This is now the way it is. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And now if God's people, they may only come to say the Lord is right. I am guilty. I am guilty. And the Lord is just in everything that he does. Now we have the beginning of the deliverance of their soul. And they may feel in that moment relief, relief. Oh, then it is the Lord that matters to them. Oh, if the Lord has to now punish me, that is right. That is right. But the Lord is right in his judgments. And the Lord is good also in everything that he does. Oh, then they may say it. Then they may say it. Oh, do you think that the Lord will leave such a people in their wretchedness, in their affliction? What do you think, children? He will not. He will not. Oh, then there are tender mercies that are boiling in his heart. Oh, to let it all out on his people. Oh, then the Lord, Joseph, He had to restrain himself. He had to go out from his brethren, that he be not too hasty to give everything that he wanted to give his brothers in his heart. He had to restrain himself. Oh, so it is with the Lord. There is such an abundance of good, such an abundance of mercy that he desires to pour out upon his children. And he cannot do it yet because he needs to bring them for their own profit first in that right place. Congregation, I see the time is up. What do we do with the rebukes of the Lord? When they are coming to our conscience, they come in your conscience, young people. A rebuke. So I do not live right. I do not live right. What do you do with that rebuke? I know what you do. Because I'm the same as you. Do you know what we do? We push it away. Push it away. Why? Because of the love of sin. It's what it is, isn't it? We don't want to leave it. Do you know what we experience then in that moment? Our fallen nature. Our fallen nature. The love of sin. And the unwillingness of our heart to depart from sin. Ever feel that? We are not as willing as we make ourselves out to be, even with all our laying on our knees, all our crying to God, supposedly, but when we do not want to forsake our sin, our bosom sin, our carnal life, our vain life, our empty life, oh, sin. That is so impoverishing, is it not? How high were we created? Oh, even in the very image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, so that the Lord may detect, may perceive his own image. When do you see your image? When do you see your image, young people? You look in the mirror. In the mirror. You say, that is me. When do you see your image, fathers and mothers? You look at your children. You say, oh, he looks like me. See an image. And when the Lord made us, he made us so that he may see his image. Not himself. Man is not God. But an image. There is something of a likeness of him. Where did it go? Where did it go? We have not to look at the world. Look in here. Look in here. Say the image of God, knowledge of him, I'm ignorant. Righteousness in me, holiness, oh, how high we were created, how low that we have fallen. Do you ever feel that? O congregation, do you hate the sin that brought us there? Do you hate that sin? And do you grieve over your love to the sin that brought us there? You say, that is a contradiction. I hate it. I love it. Yes, that is the mystery. That is the mystery. That is what is taking place in the heart of the church. Where is the distinction between the wicked? No grief. No grief. The love for the Lord is not there, and therefore there is no warfare. There is only one side. And the people of the Lord wish there was only one side too, the other side. Only love to God. O people of the Lord, for that you have to wait. But in this world, grief. Grief unto the end. Oh, the Lord is so good to us. Is he not? Can we not look around, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest? Can we not look around in our whole life? Can we not look around in the whole world? Can we not look around to see each and every day the abundance that the Lord gives to us? Just in a natural way. And then his word. Oh, could the Lord now come this day and begin to say to us, O congregation, this is now what I have done for you. That is what the Lord says today. Can name all those blessings, all those benefits that we have, not only for this life, but now also his holy word, withheld from multitudes in this world. Same conscience, same fears. No knowledge where sin comes from. No knowledge how we may return to him. But to us it is all given. The Lord may lay that out to us. All his goodness. And his people. Oh, then he may say to them, and I have brought you out of the land of bondage. And whether it be an outward way or a true spiritual way, what does the Lord say to us? And I said unto you, I am your God. Oh, you made that confession here? Confessing members, you made that confession. And then the Lord says, your life is mine. It is mine. It all belongs to me. Now the third thing. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And then the Lord lets them sit with that. And we will sit with that too. May the Lord bless and sanctify his word. Give us a true godly sorrow, that there may be the beginning already of the deliverance of our soul in the justifying of him in his judgments. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou hast brought us through undeservedly. Bless thou thy word. Sanctify it, Lord, in the hearts of every one of us. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Oh, bring us in true contrition of heart, with a broken heart, with a contrite spirit, that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance, that we may see the reality of what sin brings in our life and in our heart. All poverty. Oh, forgive all our sins. Bring us safely home. Give us meditation and thought upon thy holy words. Wilt thou help us, each one in our place, in the midst of this world in the week to come, that we may be in the world and that the world may not live in our hearts. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 389, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows, 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 389.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.